This is In Focus on News Radio 1350 KMAN.
You see what I did there?
I did see what you did there, Dave. Okay. That was very good.
We appreciate that.
I have my moments. Surprise came on a day like this.
Well, we welcome you into In Focus here on this Thursday morning, News Radio KMAN. It is Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce Day here, March 21st, and we have three guests in studio. Trent Armbrust joins us. He is Economic Development Director. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Brandon.
Good morning. We have Charlotte Meisenheimer with she is the Membership Director.
Good morning.
And we have Region Reimagined Program Director Christy Rodriguez in studio.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to all of you here on this Thursday morning. First full day of spring. We've been talking about that a lot here this morning. I bet you guys are just stoked about that. The Chamber doesn't ever have a slow season, but spring season, I'm sure everyone's ready for that.
No, and happy March Madness.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be a good couple days. We mentioned lots of basketball going on. Do you guys have any meetings here the next couple days, or has your schedule been, you know,
no, cleared up? No, we're booked up.
You're booked up? Okay.
Never a dull moment in the Chamber world.
I did rearrange a meeting specifically so everyone could watch the KU game, KSU game.
Okay, very good. Dave Lewis is losing it over there.
I caught that.
Go Cats.
We're just gonna tally that up to the newbie on the block.
That's
all right. No one ever around here has had any kind of Freudian slip before. Never, never happens.
All right. Well, we're gonna get into it here about all the things happening in at the Chamber. I guess who wants to go first, basically? You want to start?
Let's start off.
Okay. I know you want to talk here a little bit about Aggieville, correct?
Yeah. Tuesday night, the City Commission took action at a public hearing to start the 30-day comment period for the creation of a TIF, or Tax Increment Financing District, in Aggieville. And so during this 30-day comment period, both the school district and the Riley County Commission have an opportunity to really review the TIF, and if they object to it, make that known. After the 30-day comment period is over, neither body has to take any action. And if after that 30-day period no action is taken by either the school district or the county, then the TIF process can continue to move forward and we start developing a TIF redevelopment plan. And so this is an important step as we move Aggieville forward in the redevelopment.
And we've heard a lot about the TIF district here in the last few months. Mm-hmm. For those that don't know, what does it do here for the community? How does it help?
Sure. A tax increment financing district, what it does is it carves out the property tax really into two piles or two buckets. So you have the property tax that's being paid today to the school district, to the city, and to the county. And once the TIF district is formed, those taxes that those entities receive today, they will continue to receive those taxes. But as the valuation in the district grows, the growth of the taxes in that district are then put into a separate bucket, and that bucket is used to pay for the public improvements that are going to occur in Aggieville. So it's a way of carving out a piece of the property taxes based on the growth in the district to help pay for the infrastructure improvements. So it's a financing mechanism that gives a dedicated revenue source that allows the city to bond or take debt out to fund those improvements early on. Some of those improvements that have been listed for Aggieville include the parking garage, streetscape. We also have a lot of water and sewer infrastructure that needs to be replaced. So there's a variety of projects in the public realm that the TIF dollars can be used for.
All right. Obviously, a lot of improvements planned there. How long, if this fund is eventually set up here, would those dollars maybe last?
Sure. It's a 20-year – a TIF is a 20-year window of time at which that incremental revenue was put into that separate bucket. The projects, though, on a TIF tend to happen at the front end of the TIF time period, so in that first 5 to 10 years where we'd see a lot of that activity occur. An example is downtown redevelopment. You know, that TIF comes off in 2026, so we're going to have a period here of where we'll have two TIFs in place, but in 2026, that growth of property taxes dollars that have been going to pay for the bonds that paid for the public infrastructure will start being received by the city, the school district, and the county in 2027.
All right. Ultimately, what do you anticipate we'll see here in the next 30 days? Do you think we'll get a lot of comment here from the public?
Really, this is a public. This is a comment period for those two board, for the board of the school board as well as the board of county commissioners to make comments. Clearly, if they choose to address the issue, then they'll be at public meetings at which that will happen. But the city has also had a public hearing on Tuesday in which the public could come forward and make comment. And then there'll be, as we go through the redevelopment plan, the commission will also have public comment periods during the redevelopment plans. And that's really where the details of what's going to occur in Aggieville starts to get fleshed out.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I know it's a common practice, I'm pretty sure, in many communities.
Many, many communities across Kansas use TIF. And in other states, tax increment financing is used even more than in Kansas. So this is a common tool that's used across the United States.
All right, very good. Charla, I know you have some Leadership Manhattan stuff.
We do. So we just actually finished up session 5 yesterday. We have one more session left of class of 2019. So yesterday was an opportunity for us to do something that we have not done with the program before. Dave, you are part of that program in the past, right?
2006.
Awesome.
2006, yeah.
Great.
Class of 2008 was better.
Oh, here we go.
Class. We had county commissioner, we had a city commissioner, we had state legislator, we've had several past chairs of the board of directors. Take that. Top that.
We're still better.
So what you may have learned, dear listeners, is that there is a lot of pride in being a part of the Leadership Manhattan program. And we are continuing that tradition very strong with this class of 20. The board this year, we have an advisory board for the Leadership Manhattan program. They're all alumni, and they really revamped the curriculum this year. They listened really hard to what the past participants had said as far as being small business owners and what made it advantageous for them, what they would have liked to have seen, what made it difficult for people to participate in. So one of the changes that we made this year in our curriculum was we don't do back-to-back sessions. We learned that many leaders were like, it's really hard to be out of the office for 2 days in a row or a day and a half. So we made that change. We added yesterday's session on education. We'd always had a component with K-State, which is a great piece. And we continued that yesterday with Linda Cook came in and did a nice roundtable with the group for about 45 minutes to an hour on what's going on with K-State and how that town-gown relationship is fostered and continues to grow and what that means to the business community. And then Eric Reed spent some time with the group on what the bond issue was going to be doing USDA. Or USDA. See, it's not just USDA. The USD 383. And then this seemed to be the highlight of the day on our feedback from our participants is that we actually broke them up into groups of three, and we sent them out to all of the schools except for Ogden here in Manhattan. And so they were at Amanda Arnold, they were at Marlette, they were at Northview Elementary, they went to Bergman, they went to both of the high schools, Eisenhower and Anthony Middle School. And they got to spend about an hour and a half with the principals. I think it was Amanda Arnold that has fifth grade ambassadors, and so the fifth graders are able to take them all around. They loved that, but they got to hear from the principals and the students what are some of the issues that they're facing, how will the bond impact that particular school, what are some of the things that the schools wish the community knew, and I think that was very impactful. It obviously made a big impression on the participants. And then they wound the day up. They all got to eat school lunches yesterday. So they were excited to know that it was chicken nugget day. Although we had some votes that were sad that it wasn't square pizza day.
Yes.
But, they loved it. So it was a good day.
I miss square pizza. Those were good times.
And chili okay, so did you do chili with cinnamon rolls at your school lunches?
No, but I've had that before. I know that's a popular delicacy in Nebraska. I didn't grow up in Nebraska, but it's very good.
Yeah. So they had a great time. So they came back, and actually Jernine Coleman from the Board of Education came in with a group afterwards, and they were able to give some feedback on what they learned and share with her. Jernine is actually an alumni of the program as well. She graduated in 2018 class. So they're able to share what they had learned from the schools and the impressions that they were able to take. We had a great session with Kevin Ingram, president of Manhattan Christian College, and he spoke on leading with integrity, and that was a resounding success, I think, with the class as well. And, of course, we were at MATC for the afternoon session, so we got to hear from Jim and then able to take a tour of MATC and the things that they're doing to create some synergies within our business community as well. So I, from what we've heard, it was a great day for the class.
Great. Now, those in the future that want to be a part of this, let's say I hear this, I'm like, oh, I want to join Leadership Manhattan. How do you get involved with that?
So we'll start the nomination process probably in September, and then applications will go out in October. The class is then selected and announced in December, and we go from January to April. It's a class size between 16 and 20. So I would also say to those listeners out there that may have applied in the past and were not selected, don't give up. Keep trying. It's a small class for a reason, but we want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to be a part of that.
All right. And so do they do activities in once a month, a couple times a month?
It's we did two sessions in January, and then two in February, and one in April. So six total sessions. Okay. So our last one are going to be at Kansas Farm Bureau, and we're going to be learning about the chamber. We're going to learn about NBAF. And the part to NBAF that we're really concentrating on for this next session is really how that started at ground zero, how everyday community leaders work together, and how someone, I kind of talked to Lyle a little bit about it before he retired, and, what was it like to get that phone call from Ron that said, Lyle, I have this thought process that I think this is something we can do. How does that start? How do we make that collaboration? What are some of the things that happen in our community from everyday leaders? I think sometimes people look at incidents that have happened, like you talk about downtown redevelopment that occurred. We talk about North Corridor. We talk about Aggieville, like Trent just said. And, those are everyday leaders that are making a difference in their community. It's not that person. It's you. It's you that needs to make that difference in your community. And I think that's what we're hoping to, to come out with Leadership Manhattan.
Okay. Well, let's take a break here. We'll come back with more in Focus after this. You're listening to News Radio KMAN.